John chapter 5. And we continue this pretty incredible time in our Lord's ministry where he had really poured forth an enormous amount of truth. Certainly not enticing to the worldly or the carnal, but it is rich of spiritual realities that God's people should rejoice in and glory in and soak it up and make it part of their thinking and meditation. I have it simply entitled, because it's bringing it up, and even the hymns that we sang tonight touch on the subject of the two resurrection. But let's get the context, and I would like to start, though tonight will be, try, Lord willing, go from 24 to verse 29. Let's start at verse 19 so we can get the context. This is after Jesus was revealed, and we already heard for the first time the religious leader had began their opposition and want to kill him. Verse 19, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than thee, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but hath committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but hath passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he had granted the Son to have life in himself. And this had given him, and had given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in their grave, in the grave, will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Let's pray. Father, be with us tonight. As we ponder these rich, spiritually enriching truths, this speaks to our future resurrection and are already have received the spiritual quickening and awakening of the regenerative work of the Spirit of God, and we accredit it all to the grace and mercy of our God. So, Father, we pray that as we see these things little by little, piece by piece, unfolding the doctrine of salvation, the work and purpose of Christ, and yet the world left in their natural state will always be hostile, always will see it as foolishness and folly, and even to the point of blasphemous. They cannot submit to it, they cannot accept it, and even in, they will suppress it whenever possible. And yet, those whom you have allowed to hear will hear. And for that we credit to great, sovereign, and glorious free grace. And so, Father, we pray as we look and ponder these things, as our Lord confront the religious leaders of these great truths that they should have been fully aware of, they were too bound up and locked up into this world and forgot about the spiritual reality that the Word of God speaks and addressed to. And so, Father, we pray, bless for your name and for his glory in Christ's name. Amen. So far, we have learned that the opposition had begun against our Lord simply for healing a man on the Sabbath day. Jesus then gives the following stunning truth about himself that we have learned so far. In verses 19 and 20, we learn that he and the Father do and say all things together. They're the same. They're on the same page. They are what one said, the other said. What one does, the other does. Perfect oneness and unity. Perfect harmony, unity, and union between each other. Verse 21, it speaks to the fact that the Father raises the dead and gives life, and so does the Son to whom he sovereignly wills. Verse 22, all judgment is given to the Son. That had to blow away the theological minds of the Jews that he was talking to at that moment. It just, what's amazing is you don't hear them talking at all. After verse 18, Jesus is talking. It's just like, I think they're speechless. They're stunned. They're overwhelmed by what he's saying. But he is saying great and glorious truth because every one of these things he speaks of are true. Verse 23 said, only when you honor the Son do you truly honor the Father who sent him. They made great claims and great boasting of always honoring God the Father, God above, the one and true God. And yet, if you don't honor his Son, you don't truly honor the Father. He had already established those truths. As we continue on, remember last week I shared with you that we had a phrase that was the word most assuredly. Well, we're going to see it again twice tonight. Verse 24, look at it with me. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but hath passed from death into life. Boy, you talk about now hammering him with that salvation from sin. Salvation that only can be granted by God himself. He is accrediting it to himself that if you hear what I'm saying and believe what he had said in sending me, you can have everlasting life. And you have passed from death into life. Again, most assuredly, truly, truly. It is the idea of this is double assured truth. It's like, this is true truth, amen, amen. So be it. It's kind of a literary device to you, get our attention. He is ready to say something very important. And that's what we have here. It said previously in the verse 23, if you're going to honor the Father, you have to honor the Son. And one of the best ways you can do it is by listening to what I have to say and believe that he sent me into this world as the Christ. Clearly we see, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him, the Father, who sent me, has everlasting life. So to honor the Father and the Son is to hear the Son and to believe in the Father who sent him. Incredible message here. And now this is not just simply a general hearing of the gospel message or of the Jesus as the Christ. But this is the saving hearing that comes from the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit, drawing sinners, quickening and making them alive to hear and understand what the truth is to, and actually to see it for its glory and its greatness. When a sinner is quickened or awakened to the gospel call, they embrace it by faith. Then and only then do we see them savingly embracing the gospel and have everlasting life. Now I want you to notice, again, look at that verse. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, notice that next word, has everlasting life. Not we'll have it later, maybe, hope so. If you meet the condition that we have here, you have everlasting life. The word is a present tense, meaning you have it presently. But the idea of everlasting life, and too often we always think about, I'm looking forward to that great blessed that I'll never die, eternal, forever and ever going on. But there's a dual aspect of the idea of everlasting life, and sometimes it's interchanged with eternal life. Both words, whatever word you use, communicate two things. Number one, it communicates definitely the duration, but it also speaks of quality. When those are in Christ and have been saved and have been born again and have a blessed assurance that Jesus is there and they have a home in heaven, they will have a never ending, and yet this life will be rich and full and satisfying throughout all eternity. Never ceases to amaze me when I hear people say when they have a faulty view of heaven, it's probably going to be pretty boring up there. It's not going to be boring when you're with the one true God. There is no greater excitement and exhilaration a creature can ever experience than basking in the glory of the greatness of the three in one. We need to understand that this everlasting life is not only eternal, it's eternal with Him. And because it's eternal with Him, it's rich, it's full. It is truly a blessing. And this happens when a sinner looks to Christ by faith. They not only have everlasting life, they will have a fullness of life. But it's not only that. Not only life, everlasting life, full and rich life, they will not go into condemnation. Notice the verse again. Have everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. They will not, here we have the promise, will not come into judgment. John 8:51. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. John 11:26, and whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? With the question Jesus asked the crowd. When all this happens, he gives us a tremendous, beautiful picture of salvation. You were spiritually dead, now you have been passed from death to life. You have now come into from spiritual death into spiritual life. You've been made alive, so to speak. Even Romans chapter 6, that great chapter on sanctification, it says this. One of the reasons why we should live a sanctified, godly, and holy life is because it said this, Romans 6:13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead. Spiritually speaking, we're not talking about the physical resurrection that will happen in the future. This is speaking and addressing spiritual quickening resurrection that happened in the new birth. This is also promised in John 3:16. We all know it. We always like to stress the positive, but rarely do we stress the negative. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. What a blessed promise. But have everlasting life. John 3:36, the end of that chapter. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Has, present tense. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Later on, John even records in his epistle in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life. How? Because we love the brethren. One of the distinctive marks of a born-again child of God is they love the people of God. the Spirit of God enabled us and quickened us and helped us to, He poured His love in our hearts shed abroad. So we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren, and he who does not love his brother abideth in death. So we see clearly what a gospel in the nutshell. But verse 25 and 6, we see the spiritual resurrection. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father had life in himself, so he had granted the Son to have life in himself. Again, the second most assuredly. Truly, truly, verily, verily. Amen, amen. He's saying this, the hour is coming and now is. It's like the hour is coming and it's right here now as well. Theologians have called this the now not yet concept in the scripture, that so often we, you know, it either or, it both. We have all the blessed promises now, but we haven't yet seen the fullness and the full reality of them yet. So the hour is coming and now is. What is? When the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Albert Barnes said this in using the phrase, it's coming, now is the dead. It said that it's coming is under the preaching of the gospel, as well as the resurrection of the dead. Now it is now taking place. Sinners were converted under the ministry and brought into the spiritual life. The dead, either the dead in sin or those who are in their grave. The words of the Savior can apply to either one. Language in the scripture is often used to describe two similar events. The dead, the spiritually dead, will hear. They will understand. Even Jesus talked about the religious leader. The reason why you don't believe and the reason why you don't hear, because you're not of my sheep. John chapter 10. New Testament frequently described unbelievers as those who are spiritually dead. We see 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. They can't even grasp it. Nor do they have the desire to grasp it. Because the instant they hear the content and the matter and manner of what being said, they say, what does that have to do with me? Man in his natural state. Not only do we see that in that passage, they view the truth of the gospel that saves the soul as foolishness. Romans 1 said he will always suppress that truth in their sin. One of my favorite, you want to write this down, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 4 through 6. Understand the concept we're dealing with. Our Lord is trying to communicate to the religious leaders at the moment. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 through 6, talked about if the gospel is hid, it's hid to those, verse 3, whose mind the God of the days had blinded, which was Satan. Satan had blinded their mind so they cannot believe. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So when you look at verse 3 and 4, it clearly gives you a very hopeless situation. Verse 5 gives it the answer and how we are to present and handle that situation in our ministry and our time on earth. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Man, that is a mouthful of great spiritual truth. When a sinner and everything in him doesn't want it, doesn't see how it can profit him in this world and this life and to get ahead, and no, it helped me, it made me not want to do my, I want to sin. But yet, when God says, come, you're mine tonight, he changes, and all of a sudden that light comes. And that's why one of our songs, I Know Whom I Believe In and Persuaded, the hymn writer said, I don't know how he does it, but he does. Creating faith within me, moved me to want him and desire him. Clearly we see here God commanded the light to shine out of darkness onto the hearts of those who are dead in their sins, that they would see with the knowledge of God, always in the faith of his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul even said to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. And he said, you are so dead, here's what it was like, in which you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. So, pretty dire situation. Colossians 2, verse 13. And you, us, prior to grace, being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcised in your flesh, he had made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. He quickened you. He made you alive. You were dead. All these things are tied into the concept of what he's saying here. One more, Ephesians 4, verse 18. Here's what we were like in our lostness. And God overcame it through the regenerative work of the Spirit. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the blindness of their heart. That is a monumental problem. Every man, woman, and child born into this world fits this bill by default until the grace of God come through the Spirit of God to quicken them. So as we move from verse 25, let's look at verse 26. For as the Father had life in himself, so he had granted the Son to have life in himself. Here the Father and the Son have life in themselves. They don't depend on anything. They exist eternally within themselves. And because life is in themselves, they have the power and the authority to give life. We already learned earlier, all the way in chapter 1 in the prologue of verses 1 through 18 of first chapter of John. Verse 4 said this, and him was life, and the life was the light of men. Even if you look to verse 21 in our passage, in our chapter right here, verse 21, it's a restatement here of 21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. And we know about that life. I think one of the first verses we learned about Jesus being the life is probably John 1:4. Probably the second one will be John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through him. Now it moves into the third point, which is the physical resurrection, verses 27 through 29. These are pretty, again, remember, he's not talking to himself. He's not talking to the disciples. The disciples are hearing it. He's talking to the religious leaders here. And had given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. when he commanded, nobody's going to be able to resist. They will come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Here we see, breaking it down, he had given them authority to execute judgment. We already learned about that earlier when he talked about it earlier in chapter 5. Even in John, in the high priestly prayer, when he praying to his Father in John 17, verse 2 and 3, you have given him authority over all flesh, and he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Again, the Father, the Son, and you must believe that the Father sent his Son for this purpose. Even later on, when we're halfway through the book of Acts, the church is going out, sharing the gospel, sharing the good news of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ with the essence of the gospel. When you get to Acts 17:31, it said this, regarding the topic and discussion, it said this, and because he had appointed a day, God had appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he had ordained. He had given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. That is none other than Jesus Christ. It had been ordained and appointed. It was him. It was assigned and granted to him. And he affirmed that with, he uses the phrase, given assurance, proof, by raising him from the dead. So there's a lot rooted in the doctrine of the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ that we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday. It's one of the few times I said it right without inserting Reformation Sunday. But we know which one is the higher and greater thing, and that is none other than the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And why is he able to do that? Because he is the Son of Man. Because he is the second member of the Godhead. He had already proven his equality with the Father. Again, my Father work, I work. You honor me, you honor my Father. You honor the Father, you honor me. And he had been given this because he is the Son of Man, the Son of God. And I love his next words. Can you imagine how they responded when he said that? No, they didn't say amen. I guarantee you that. They're probably sheathing with absolute hatred and mad and didn't want to have to hear this. And he said these words, do not marvel at this. Don't be surprised and shocked. This is the truth. He said it twice, most assuredly. If you take all of the passages since he started talking to him, he said it three times on all that we're dealing with here. Yeah, they overlooked the marvelous miracle of a man who had crippled for 38 years on a technicality they invented, fabricated, bound the conscience of the people. That man at that moment, instead of him enjoying and rejoicing in the miracle that God granted him, because he is the Son of Man, do not marvel at this. And he said it again in verse 28, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice. There will be a time where those who are savingly lost and true believers will be raised, and they will, they call it, you know, raising up in the resurrection day or the resurrection morning, that yet in the future it's coming and will come. Here lies the distinction between, I believe, the spiritual resurrection is coming and here now. He doesn't have the here now there at the point here. There will be an appointed time in the future, and it is fixed and it's certain and it will happen. I love it. I love his words of certainty. They will hear my voice and they will come forth. When he said, come, now mind you, dead people don't hear. But they will hear his voice because the King of Kings and the Creator of all the universe will make them hear his voice and enable them and have given them the power to rise up. And they will come forth, and he's going to separate them. Those who have done good, who embrace the Son, resurrection of life. Those who have done evil, rejected, in unbelief and rebellion, will experience the resurrection of damnation. We get a glimpse of this in Matthew 25, verse 31 through 34. When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate one from another, as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goat, and he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then you jump down to verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angel. And then in the last verse of that chapter of Matthew 25, it said this, and he summarized it by saying, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but these, the righteous, into eternal life. And the beauty of that verse is the word everlasting and eternal is the same Greek word. So however long heaven is how long eternal punishment is. The question I pose tonight, are you ready? When we all rise on that resurrection morning, some will go to condemnation, some will go to life. And it only will happen when we look to Christ. If I want to finish, I better pick those up. We will only be among those of the resurrection to life is putting our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus and him alone. Resurrection of life says it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 53 through 55, and then again in verse 57. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible hath put on incorruption and this mortal hath put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Verse 57, great verse. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even in John chapter 6, which is the next chapter of verse 40, it said, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. But those to the resurrection of condemnation, these are some of the most clearest, in my mind, sobering words of either or you can find in Scripture. I use this often when I'm sharing the gospel, when people are straddling the fence. I give them 1 John 5, verse 11 through 13. And this is the testimony that God had given eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Nowhere else. His Son. You want this life? You want this heaven, glorious, eternal future? It's in his Son. He who had the Son had life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Doesn't matter what you say. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Say all you want. I determine and I will know. And then he said this. These things that I've written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Amen. The life is in his Son. And let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for these words. Easily could have made this into a multiple message. rich, the stuff that feeds the soul, spiritual realities and truth. And Lord, help us to rejoice and be glad in the things we learn that our Lord is teaching. Oh, to be there when He was teaching these and communicating these to the leaders. But Lord, above all, more than anything, we're hearing it through Your Word. Are we ready? Have we embraced Christ? Have we embraced Him alone? Have we heard Him and believe that the Father has sent Him into this world as the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One? And so, Father, we pray that You'll bless and challenge and exhort us in Christ's name. Amen.